The rest of you would like to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10 to start with. I have two short passages from the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 10, if you have a church Bible, is page 1068. Page 1068, Hebrews chapter 10. And I've really entitled this morning's sermon with a question. With a question. And the question is, must I forgive? Must I forgive? Let's see what God will say to us through his word. May he help us to have a correct understanding of his word and what the Lord is calling us to do. Must I forgive? First of all, Hebrews chapter 10, and we read verses 11 to 18. Every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us. For after he had said before, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them." Then he adds, "Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Praise be to his name. The old covenant could only be a reminder of the sins. But the verse here tells us that Jesus Christ has taken our sins away. One sacrifice was sufficient. Praise be to God. The new covenant brings real forgiveness. Lasting forgiveness. Hallelujah. The second passage is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 12. Here it's on page 1027 in the Church Bible. The Apostle Paul, as inspired by the Lord, says, "We do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God, or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus that if one died for all, then all died. And Jesus died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he who made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This is the word of God. We thank God for his word. You see, here in this passage here, it's so wonderful, the grace of God. His grace of God has reckoned our trespasses against us. He's done it away. He's refused to reckon our trespasses. Friends, it is not an easy thing to forgive. It's even harder to forget. It is impossible to forget without forgiving. You need to first forgive, and then the process of forgetting can take place. Our words, our actions can have lasting marks, can't they? Those things which have been done to you, said about you, have hurt, and they can leave scars. The things which we may have said to others or done to others has had an impact. I can illustrate this way. There was a little boy who had a vile temper. He had a real bad temper. He was always losing it. So one day his mother and father had a discussion and they agreed that perhaps this would work. So the dad gave the little boy a big bag of nails. And he's only a little tot, 4-inch nails he was given. And the boy was told that every time he lost his temper, got angry, said things, stamped around in anger and temper, every time he had to bang one of these nails in the fence. And he was only a little tot, so that took effort. The first day, he had to bang 37 nails in the fence. That's how much often he just lost it, blew it. Words came out. Well, over the process of time, it dwindled. So it started off with 37, but it was becoming less and less. And one day, he got through the whole day without losing it. Without losing his temper. And he was so proud, he said to his dad, "Hey Dad, I hadn't had to bang a nail in today." And his dad was pleased, his dad was encouraged. But he got hold of the little boy and took him out to the fence. And he says, "Right, now each day you don't lose your temper, I want you to pull. Now each day you do still lose your temper, I want you to pull a nail out." Well, he started pulling the nails out. And it took him a long time. And eventually there were some nails left in the fence because he wasn't just losing his temper. They were left in there. But a lot of nails had been pulled out. And again, he came back to his dad and says, "Look, I'm not having to pull these nails out. I'm keeping cool. I'm counting before I blow it." So his dad again took him by his hand. And all the nails which had been pulled out, there had been holes left. And so his dad says, "Hey Johnny boy, you see all these holes? They've left, you know, your words, your anger may have left a mark. It takes time to heal. Your actions do have an impact. You put a knife into a man, you withdraw it and you say, 'I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry.' No matter how many times you may say sorry, the wound is there. When we wound one another, we can leave a lasting impression, unless, of course, those sins are repented of and forgiven. Guard your tongue. That's biblical advice. James actually has a lot to talk about the tongue. Guard your tongue. Friend, and I speak to this sermon is speaking to me. You hear ministers say that. I tell you, this is really challenging me. Always speak less than you think. Always speak less than you think. If you win an argument but lose a relationship, you haven't won anything. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the sons of God." We need to forgive one another as the Lord forgives us when we turn to him. Now, of course, the forgiveness of the Lord has to be based on true repentance, doesn't it? Not just saying, "We are sorry." I'm talking about God's forgiveness for us, for you and for me. There is a great difference, isn't there, in being simply sorry and the true repentance, which is turning away from our sins. Esau wept that he'd lost the blessing, not that he'd sold it. Remorse is being sorry. Repentance is being sorry enough to stop. Sin forsaken is the best evidence of sin forgiven. Now, the Bible is clear, friends, that when God forgives sin, he remembers that sin no more. I want us to read Jeremiah, Hebrews quoted from Jeremiah, but Jeremiah chapter 31. And it's talking about that Jeremiah is looking forward to this new covenant, which we read about in Hebrews, page 698. Jeremiah 31, verse 31. This is exciting. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make, says, with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." Isn't that wonderful? Now, friends, God is omniscient. Therefore, he cannot actually forget anything. God can't actually forget anything. You and I, as we get older, we suffer from memory loss, don't we? We do suffer, and it pains us at times that we can remember what song we sung in Sunday school 75 years ago, but we can't remember what we had for lunch 2 hours ago. We're always bemoaning the fact that we do suffer memory loss. But memory loss is not what these verses are talking about. No, no, God chooses to forget. He chooses to forget our sins. What a gracious, what a compassionate God he is. He chooses not to remember or hold those sins against us when we have repented. It's based on the blood. Oh, friends, our sins are forgiven. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter, in Psalm 103, that our sins are as far from God as the east is from the west, so far has he hidden our transgressions from us. Now, on a globe, there is a north, there is a south. There is a point to the north, there is a point to the south. But there is not on the east and the west. As far as the east is the west, so far has he removed our sins. He remembers them no more. He chooses not to remember them. So therefore, friends, isn't that a good reason to no longer allow the enemy, Satan, to bring up past sins? The Lord has forgiven us. These past sins are no longer relevant to God. Glory to His name. Now, in our forgiving others, we should follow this pattern, I suggest. We need to make a conscious choice, with the help of the Lord, to no longer continually bring our own sins up and allow the enemy to remind us, but also to consciously choose to forgive others. We've just read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, but if you slip back to chapter 2, these verses in verses 10 and 11, "Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive," the Lord says. "For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ." See, Paul is speaking by the inspiration of the Holy Lord. As Christ forgives, He forgives. "Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Folk, there's only one way, in a sense, that the past can be changed, and that's forget it. Forgive it first. You have to forgive. Now, friends, I've got to be honest with you. Like yourselves, because I don't think there's a man, woman here this morning who has not at some time been badly hurt. It may have been a horrible, horrible, horrible bullying incident. It may have been abuse. It may have been horrible words. It may have been somebody deserted you. It may have been even a so-called brother or sister in the church who really did the dirty on you. And it's a real challenge, isn't it? To first forgive and then forget. Because something, their name may come up and it brings it back. I think we're all challenged that way. But the message this morning, friends, is if that is still crippling you, if you have not moved forward, then God hasn't truly released you, and that's what He wants to do. Because you're not going to enjoy tomorrow all the time. You're living in the past. God wants to do something. Let me also say, friends, and I say this tenderly here, counseling programs that are based on worldly psychological principles, they fail so miserably to offer true healing. They do, friends. Let me tell you, there is nothing in this precious word for the believer that will encourage you to drag up old memories. There's nothing. It's not part of God's counsel. But it is to forgive and to forget. Satan is always trying to outwit us or plot against us, to try and drive a wedge between us and the great high priest. We do not want to be unaware of the devices of the enemy, but one of which is to cause us to live in unforgiveness. Friends, it doesn't mean that those we forgive are necessarily absolved of their sins. We cannot forgive sins. Only God can do that. That's why we also say in the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who trespass against us." We can forgive, and so it doesn't have a hold on us. But each individual has to come before the Lord and recognize their guilt. Then He can forgive. And all can move on. Satan hates us. He wants to keep us in the past and in darkness. Also, dear friends, when I'm talking about forgiveness, I'm not talking about tolerance. Forgiveness and tolerance is not the same thing. God does not tolerate sin. What he does do, he sustains the humble. He casts the wicked to the ground. Friends, we celebrated the communion service this morning. Isn't that wonderful? He has laid the basis for forgiveness through the perfect life, through the perfect sacrifice of his Son. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace." We sung that beautiful chorus, didn't we? "It is only by grace we can enter." What riches there are in God's grace. Our God loves all people. He is not willing that any should perish. Oh, that you and I may have the same heart for people. Oh, that God will truly help us, that we will want to forgive others in order that we will be treating them properly rather than pushing them away from repentance and redemption. Colossians chapter 3 verses 12 to 14. We won't read that now. You may want to make a note of just to meditate on later. But one of our goals in forgiving and then by God's help forgetting is to set the stage, and I'm talking about when unbelievers, perhaps they're your mates at school, at college, perhaps it's unbelieving family members, perhaps it's a colleague at work who's really, as it were, taken advantage of you. Perhaps it was an unbelieving spouse. Perhaps you thought you were in love. You thought the person was in love with you. And they've hurt you badly. Really badly. And these are challenges, friends. And God will help you and me to deal with them. But one of our goals in forgiving is to set the stage for possible redemption through Christ, and that they may know themselves God's forgiveness, the forgiveness of sins, not to set the stage for further sin, for further stumbling. We read just now in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 these verses. "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation," that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us, to you, to me, the ministry of reconciliation. You see, the believer, we're living in the Spirit now. We're living in the impossible realm now. In our ministry of reconciliation, when people repent, we must no longer count their sins against them, just as Christ doesn't. There's a great scripture in Isaiah 43. It says this. "This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea," I'm quoting from the NIV, "He who made the way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and the horses and the reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past." That's the word of God. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. God says, "See, I'm doing a new thing. Will you let him?" The word says, "Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland." So Israel was to forget the former things, including their captivity in the past, and remember God's miraculous mercies. When you and I forgive, we will begin the process of forgetting sins that have been committed against us. Jesus says in Luke's Gospel, "Pray for those who mistreat you." Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. This is Christ. As he is being tortured, forgive them. What an example to follow. Can't do it in my own strength. Now, friend, you say, yeah. But I've tried to reform. I've tried to do it. Can I tell you what I think one of your problems is, and what has been my problem from time to time? You're trying to make your flesh better. You're trying to reform your flesh. You're on a losing battle. You'll never win that one. That's why we're to die to flesh, to die to self, crucify, put it behind. New creation, the old's gone. I'm living my life in the Spirit now. He indwells me. That which I couldn't do in my own strength, He empowers me to do. When I couldn't forgive, I can forgive. It no longer has to have that control over me. Oh, friend, some of the things you've done, I've done to others and said, and which the devil does want to remind us of, we can't undo that. That's past. If that's God's forgotten and we've had His cleansing, move on! Move on! Move on! Forgetting is never immediate. But when we no longer dwell on the past, we do begin to forget the wrongs done to us. Even our own past forgiven sins, our own failures, our own wrongs that we've done against another. Friends, let them never, never be used as stumbling blocks to your faith. Rather, by the grace of God, that they are stepping stones to know the Lord better and to walk in the freedom He has won for you, so that you can be a blessing to others. God instructed the Israelites, we've just read it in Isaiah, to forget the former things concerning their captivity. Friends, we can live in unforgiveness by allowing past wrongs done to us to shape our life and our attitudes. There's no point in burying a hatchet if you're going to leave a marker on the site where you left it. D.L. Moody, the evangelist D.L. Moody, said this: those who say they will forgive but can't simply bury the hatchet, they leave the handle out for immediate use. They say they buried that. They can't forgive. But they say, oh, we buried the hatchet. But actually, the handle is still sticking out, so they can grab it at any time. It's a constant reminder. Do you see? God will also do a new thing in your life, in the life of a Christian, when forgiveness is in evidence in their hearts, in your heart and my heart. He will make a way in the deserts of the future if we can finally let go of the sins done to us in the past. You know, the Apostle Paul, how many of you take inspiration from the Apostle Paul? I do. I take lots of inspiration from the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, he tells us, hey, I haven't made it yet. I'm still not complete. I'm still not perfect. But one thing I do, he says, I'm forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward, stretching forward to those things which lie ahead. Now, listen. I doubt very much if the Apostle Paul forgot his hard labour. I doubt if he forgot his imprisonments. The three times that he was beaten with rods. The once when he was stoned. The five times he was beaten 39 times by the Jews. Three times shipwrecked. The difference was, Paul refused to let the hurts done to him affect his outlook or keep him from finishing his course with joy. Don't let your past rob you of your future. The call of God to you and to me, friends, I've got to do it. Close the door. Move on with God. Close the door. Move on with God. Hear this. Forgiveness does not mean that you agree or that you even want a close relationship with the offender. That may not be on the cards. But it does mean you let it go forever. It means you just do not forgive. But with God's help, it will be blotted out of your memory. Thank you, Holy Spirit. To be great, to be a great person in God's sight is one as if when you forgive and when you can pray for the one who has misunderstood you or who has hurt you by words or by actions. The sands of time will blow away the hurts of the past if we are willing to forgive. God alone knows who he's speaking to. He's speaking to me. But I've got to preach this to myself, so there's somebody else. At least. The Puritan Thomas Watson wrote a very strong thing. He wrote many strong words. Very helpful, but challenging. But he said this: a man may as well go to hell for not forgiving as for not believing. Let me say again. Oh, Holy Spirit, come. Minister. Give us faith. Please. Dwelling on the past robs you of today's blessing in the same way as being over anxious about what's going to happen tomorrow. Do you see? Dwelling on the past will rob you of today's blessings just as much as being over anxious about Monday and next year. It robs us. The future is where you're going to spend the rest of your life. The future is where you're going to spend the rest of your life. Jesus said, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, about your body, what you will wear. When we do not forgive others for things done in the past, we will more likely worry about tomorrow. And make sure what you have done and what I've done to somebody else, that's done, forgotten about. If it's been, you've been cleansed, rebuke Satan now. Get him back. Tell him to go behind you. But if the Holy Spirit has convicted you that something that you have left undone which needs to be sewn up by the grace of God and in the power of the Holy Spirit for Christ's sake and for the other person's or people's sake, seek restitution or seek that you can just forgive so that you and they can move on. See, often when we're hurt or when we've wounded somebody else or whatever, the other person doesn't actually realise. But we've let Satan take advantage, haven't we? He hates us. If we cannot trust the Lord to forgive, if we cannot in turn forgive others, then the future will become a place very similar to that in which we now live. The only way we can be free in Christ is to lay that burden of unforgiveness on the Lord and seeing it nailed on the cross. Hallelujah! Hear the word of the Lord. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle I am humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Yes, friends, we must deny ourselves, humble ourselves in order to forgive. If we take up the cross of forgiveness every day, we will find we will no longer be holding grudges against people, but we will be laying it all at the foot of the cross. You and I, sometimes we're angry and really haven't been able to forgive what somebody has done to somebody else we love. It's the same principle, friends. Same principle. We can lay all our burdens of the past, present, and future on our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So, must I forgive? Yeah. Lay it all at the feet of Jesus. Let us forgive and let's start the process of forgetting. And God gives us this assurance, friends. This isn't Jim's words. This is his assurance that God's Spirit will heal you and make you whole so that you can live free from the past and enjoy his peace and presence and pursue in God's power for Christ's sake the ministry that he has given you, the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, as we're quiet before you for a moment, please will you do your work so that each and everyone, whatever our age, will indeed walk out from this place, free people.